I'm going to read to you John 3, verse 15, that everyone who believes into him may have eternal life. Everyone who does what?
Believes.
By simply believing into him, everyone may have eternal life. This is the gospel. This is the promise that if we would believe into Christ, we may have eternal life. And in this line that you'll cover in the morning, we really want to see and appreciate this life that we have. Perhaps we don't have so much of an understanding or an appreciation of this life that we received when we believed into Christ. By birth, we received the human life. That by our believing and being regenerated, we have received, in addition to our human life, another life. Amen. What's this other life? It's the eternal life. I don't know about you, but I think that's not a small thing, is it?
Amen.
To be someone on the earth that has eternal life. Well, what is eternal life? I think it may be good just to begin with some simple definitions. What is eternal life? The eternal life is the life of God. It's God. It is the uncreated life of God. It is without beginning or ending. It is existing by itself and even unchangeably existing. This is eternal life. It is eternal in time, in sphere, and in quality. In time, it's without beginning or ending. In sphere, it is a vast and unlimited life. There is no limits to this eternal life. And in quality, this life is absolutely perfect and complete. And this life never diminishes. It never wanes. This is the life that we have received. So every believer has received this eternal life.
Amen.
Let me ask you, do you have the eternal life?
Amen.
Your answer has to be yes.
Amen.
I have the uncreated divine life of God.
Amen.
Well, now we need to go on. We have received eternal life, but what's the significance of our receiving eternal life? Is the significance limited to the future? Thank God I have eternal life. So one day when I will eventually die, I can face that in peace, knowing that I will be resurrected and have everlasting life. You know, some Christians limit their understanding of eternal life merely to the thought of it being everlasting. And that because we have believed and because we have eternal life, We don't fear death because even if we die, we will be resurrected and we will live forever with Jesus. Well, there is that aspect. But don't limit your knowing and experiencing of the eternal life merely to the future. We have the eternal life today. And God's intention is that this life that we have received would grow in us, would increase in us, and that we would learn to live by this life. So for 18 plus years, you learned how to live by the human life. Now, we need to learn how to live according to the divine life, the eternal life that is within us. Today, our living should be in dependence on the very life of God that we have received. Not only by our human life. So, a little more defining. You cannot separate the eternal life from God Himself. We'll see that in the outline. So, to have eternal life means you have God. You have received God Himself into you. To live out the eternal life, or to live by the eternal life, simply means we live out God. We live by God. What is the source, the means for our daily living? It's no longer merely just our human life, but it's the very life of God that we have received. So this morning, we want to see in the matter of our daily experience of this life, that there's a cycle of life. There's a cycle related to this life that we believers will experience again and again and again. And the more this cycle gets repeated in us, the more this life, the eternal life, grows in us. You could say that the growth of this life, this spiritual life, this eternal life in us, is altogether related to the cycle of life, to the cycle of the spiritual life. The more cycle there is, the more repeating of these actions and events, the more you will grow in this life. But on the other side, the less repeating of these actions and events in our life, the less growth in life there will be. So these things are not small. These things need to be taken care of by us in our daily life. So I hope none of us are passive in the matter of the eternal life. Oh, I believed in Jesus. Oh, I got eternal life. Yeah, it's tucked away somewhere in here. It's tucked away in my spirit. Yeah, I got it. I've got my guarantee that even if I die, I'll live again. I hope none of us are limited in our knowing and experiencing of the eternal life in that way. But rather, every day, we would be experiencing and enjoying eternal life. Now let's come to the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. In 1 John 1, there is the cycle
in our spiritual life, formed of four crucial items: eternal life, the fellowship of eternal.
So we all need to bring our Bibles to these meetings. And now if you could open it, your Bible, to 1 John chapter 1. Let's see this cycle in our spiritual life with the four crucial items. So 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verses 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life. And the life.
Amen.
What life is this? The eternal life.
Amen.
The uncreated life of God. The life.
Amen.
The life that is the real life. The life was manifested. And we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what is the first major item of this cycle of our spiritual life? It is life. It is the life. It is the eternal life. It has been manifested for us to know this life and to receive this life into us. Then after receiving this life, there is something called the fellowship. Oh, what a term. The fellowship of life. This life, eternal life that's in us, this life wants to increase in us. This life wants to grow in us.
Amen.
This life wants to spread in us.
Amen.
This life is moving in us.
Amen.
This life is flowing in us.
Amen.
That moving, that flowing of life is the fellowship of life.
Amen.
And it's in the fellowship of life where we enjoy God Himself.
Amen.
This fellowship of life, you know, that Greek word fellowship means a joint participation. Do you realize that every day, you and I, we can have a joint participation with God in the very life of God? That eternal life that's in you is not meant to be imprisoned, boxed up, concealed within your spirit, but that life is there for you to contact, for you to enjoy, for you to receive more of day by day.
Amen.
And that life is moving within you, spreading within you, growing within you.
Amen.
That is the fellowship of life.
Amen.
And along with the fellowship of life, there is the sense of life. When you are in the flowing of this life, you have the sense of this life. What is the sense of this life? Well, whenever you are enjoying this life, there is the sense of inward satisfaction, of inward supply, of inward strength, of inward rest and peace. This is what we enjoy in the fellowship of God's life. So day by day, when you participate in God's life, when you contact and enjoy the very life of God that's in you, you get strengthened. You get supplied and sustained. You get satisfaction, and you have this inward rest and peace.
Amen.
This is ours.
Amen.
For us to enjoy.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
And the more this life flows in us, the more this life is growing in us. So dear brothers and sisters, take care of the fellowship of life. Don't neglect the fellowship of life. Don't let a day go by where you don't enjoy the life of God that's within you, when you don't participate in that life, contact that life, receive more of that life. Don't let a day go by without this fellowship of life. You know, without this fellowship of life, there's no way to live the Christian life. You can't be a Christian practically, daily, without the fellowship of life. Well, we receive this life. This life now brings in a fellowship, a participation in of this life. It's this life that, again, is supplying us and strengthening us to live the Christian life. And within this life, there's something called light. Should do a capital L because it's the light. So if we go on in 1 John, in verse 5 it says, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light." God is life and God is light. So in this life of God, there's also light. "And in him is no darkness at all." Verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin." So let me finish the cycle. Now you have the blood. The blood of Jesus. And the cycle goes like this. God is life. He is in us. Daily we participate in his life, enjoy his life, live by his life. When we do that, we enjoy the fellowship of life with the sense of life. But sometimes we don't take care of living by God's life. We don't do things according to the fellowship of life. We don't follow the flowing of God's life within. We don't obey the sense of life. And we do something that is not according to God. That is not according to the life of God. This causes an offense to be on our conscience. And because there is an offense on our conscience, we're not able to freely participate in God's life. Because of this offense that is there. So as we come into God's presence, as we contact him in our spirit, as we come to contact him as life, he is not only life, he is also light. He will begin to shine inwardly on you about your living, about the way you conducted yourself. You begin to realize that the way you conducted yourself, the way you behaved was not according to his life. And this has become now an offense, frustrating the flowing of God's life within you, frustrating the filling up of your being with more of God's life. And this offense needs to be cleansed. It needs to be washed away by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
There's no other way to remove the offense between us and the Lord. How does that offense get removed, that stain on our conscience? By us confessing. By us confessing. "Amen, Lord, I'm sorry. Amen, Lord, you're right. I was wrong. I was wrong in the way I lived yesterday. I was wrong in the way I conducted myself. I was wrong in the way I spoke yesterday to my roommate, to my mother, my father, to my colleague. I was wrong in my reaction to the driver on the freeway who didn't indicate when they pulled in front of me. Whatever it may be, we need to confess it according to the sense of God's life within. Right away, instantly, when you confess it, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin.
Amen.
You know, in the Greek, that's a present tense for cleanses. That means the blood of Jesus is ever present in its cleansing function. But all you have to do is confess to apply it to you. It's constantly cleansing us. But we need to confess whatever has been brought out in the light. Then what happens after you confess? After the blood of Jesus applies the cleansing to the offense on your conscience, the stain on your conscience. Right away, more life. More of God's life flows into you. More of God's life comes into you. Then, with the increase of God's life in you, you enjoy more fellowship of this life. But then you know what comes along with the more fellowship of this life? There's more light. Because the light is in the life. And then you become more aware about other things in your daily living that are not according to this life. What do you need to do? Confess. Confess these things so that the blood of Jesus will cleanse you and more life will come in. And this becomes a cycle that's repeated again and again and again. It will never end, brothers and sisters, at least not in this age. We will never graduate from the cycle of life. Even when we're old in age, we'll still be in this cycle of life. Let me give you a little heads up about something. Many times on the university campuses, we go out, we preach the gospel, and people get saved. So they receive the life of God. And right away, by receiving the life of God, they're brought into the fellowship of God's life. And they are just so full of joy. They're so happy. They just cannot stop smiling. And they're there praising the Lord and in the meetings. Just they're the first ones to proclaim something, speak something. And then with some, after a little period of time, they start to drop out. They start to drop out. And you go and you spend time with them. And what happens is this. They enjoyed God's life. They enjoyed the fellowship of life. But then the light began to come and they began to see that they're not so proper in their living. And instead of just applying the blood to have that cleansed and to receive more of the Lord's life, they began to look at themselves and condemn themselves. And then they began to compare themselves to the other brothers and say, you know, I'm not as good as him. We got saved at the same time, but he seems to be better than me. Seems like maybe this Christian thing's not working out for me. And I tried to be better. I tried to stop doing those things, but I just can't stop. Well, you know what the real need is? The real need is more life. How do you get more life when you're in the light? You just confess. Lord, I confess. I'm short in this. I was wrong in this. And the Lord's life will come in and there'll be a little bit of growth. And then you might make another mistake. What do you do when you make another mistake? Lord, I confess. I was wrong again. I'm sorry. And a little bit more of God's life comes into you. If you will stay in this cycle, eventually you'll grow out of many things. Eventually, you'll grow up and you'll just grow out of certain kinds of habits and behaviors. But in the meantime, you've got to stay in the cycle of life.
Amen.
There's no shortcut. There's no fast track. Life grows at the rate of life. So don't get discouraged. Don't get disappointed. Just keep confessing. Keep receiving more of God's life. Keep enjoying this life and let this life grow in you.
Amen.
And so I told you I'd give you a heads up. You know what happens as you grow in God's life? You all think that as you grow in God's life, you get better. But actually, you know what I discovered? As I'm growing in God's life, it seems like I get worse. But the truth is, I'm not getting worse. Because I'm now growing in life, God is able to shine a bit more light in me. And I'm beginning to see more and more what I've been all along. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some Christians, they have a great experience of the cycle of life. They have this great experience of growing in life. And then all of a sudden they get discouraged. And they say, oh, because I thought I would by now be better. But it seems like I'm just getting worse. But no, you're not getting worse. Because you're maturing in life, God is able to shine the light a little bit more in your being to let you see a little bit more of what you've really been all along. So you would just repent, confess it, and let His life come into that part of you.
Amen.
This is the cycle. Brothers and sisters, stay in this cycle.
Amen.
Don't think you've graduated from the cycle. Repeat it again and again. You know, that's what the word cycle means, right? A repeated process. Again and again and again. So if you find yourself in the cycle 100 times for the 1,000th time, Stephen, where are you in this cycle? Who knows? Just don't get discouraged. Don't say, oh, I've come again to the blood. I still need the blood? Oh. No, you should say, thank you, Lord, for the blood.
Amen.
Thank you that it is continuously cleansing me from every sin.
Amen.
Even the sin I just committed right now. I'm sorry, Lord. But thank you, your blood's cleansed me so I can receive more life.
Amen.
To have more fellowship of this life.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on. Brothers, read A under Roman numeral 1. Eternal life issues in its fellowship. Sisters, B.
The fellowship of eternal life brings in the divine light.
Brothers, C.
The divine light increases the need for the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, that we may have more eternal life.
Yeah. Then altogether on D. Such a cycle brings us onward in the growth of the divine life until we reach the maturity of life. Such a cycle brings us onward in the growth of the divine life, and it will go onward until we reach the maturity of life. Okay, Roman numeral 2. The eternal life is the life which is really life. You know, that's in the Bible. 1 Timothy 6:9. Really life. Why don't we turn that to that? 1 Timothy 6:9. 6:19, thank you. 1 Timothy 6:19. I love this phrase. The life which is really life. How about we read it together? Laying away for themselves
good foundation, as
okay,
a treasure for the future, that they may lay hold on that which is
really life. Oh, that they may lay hold on that which is really life.
Amen.
Which is the real life.
Amen.
So let's see what is really life. A, brothers on A.
Life is not devotion, good behavior, power, gift, or the growth in knowledge.
OK. Okay, this is helpful to know what life is not. So as a believer, we have received the eternal life. You may think that your experiencing of God's life, your growing in God's life, is because you have an increase in devotion. But merely having devotion or the increase in devotion is not related to the divine life. It can altogether be something according to our human life. You may think it's good behavior. You may think that the change of your behavior outwardly to become a better person. Aha, I'm growing in life. But no, just the mere change in your behavior can be altogether from the human life. What about power? On this earth, there's been a lot of powerful people that have been able to do things. Just because you're powerful doesn't necessarily mean it's from the life of God. How about gift? Your ability to do something. Well, even just having a gift doesn't necessarily mean it's from the life of God. What about Balaam's donkey? Did Balaam's donkey get a gift? Yeah, it got a gift. It got the gift to speak momentarily with human speech. Did it change the life of the donkey? No. After the gift went, the donkey was still a donkey. So even just getting some gift, even spiritual gift, doesn't necessarily imply the increase of God's life within us. And then lastly, neither is life merely the growth in knowledge. Just because you're accumulating biblical knowledge does not necessarily mean you are growing in life. I think as young believers, probably the matter of knowledge and good behavior are two things that can deceive or distract a young Christian from God's life. B, life is not our human life. Our human life, bios and psuche, is mortal. It's temporal. But life, zoe, is eternal. You know, in Greek, there are three words for life. Zoe, referring to the eternal, uncreated, divine life of God. Then there is psuche, referring to the psychological life. And then there's bios, referring to the physical life, the life of the body. So we have the human life, which includes both the bios and the psuche life. But this life is not the real life. I want to impress you with this. You have the human life, but it's just a shadow. It's something that's just temporal. It's a life that's mortal. But God wants to give you the life that's really life. Amen. I tell you, when you touch the life of God, you're like, "Woo! This is the real thing. Amen. This is the real life. Amen. This is the life I want to live by." Amen. Well, we need to keep going. Life is God Himself. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, it says, "For He is your life." You know, life is God Himself. When we say we receive the life of God, what we really should say is we receive God Himself. Amen. You know, Stephen Yao is here. He has life. He has the life of Stephen Yao. Can you separate it from Stephen Yao? No. When the life of Stephen Yao ends, Stephen Yao also ends. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You can't separate the life from the person. So life is God Himself. When you received the eternal life, you received God Himself.
Amen.
But how do we receive God? God is in the heavens. We're on the earth. We're sinful. How can we sinners receive the eternal life? Well, in D, life is Christ. Christ is the Son of God who became incarnated. When he became incarnated, the eternal life came into a man. That's why in 1 John 1, the apostle says, we saw, we beheld, even our hands handled this life. Because this life was embodied in a man, Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ going to the cross, dying there, and entering into resurrection, this life is now available for you and I to receive. So life is Christ. What does John 14:6a say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. I am the life. What about Colossians 3:4? When Christ our life. What does it mean to say Christ our life? It means you can't live without him. Okay, then E. Life is the Holy Spirit. So then we know God came in Christ that we would have life, and Christ through death and in resurrection became a life-giving Spirit. So now, through receiving the Spirit, we receive this eternal life. Okay, what's the key part in Romans 8:2? For the law of the Spirit of life. Okay, and how about 2 Corinthians 3:6b? The Spirit gives life. I'd encourage you, look up these verses. Know these verses. These are key verses. The Spirit gives life. Okay, F. How about all together, let's read F. Life is the triune God dispensed into us and living in us. Brothers on one. Very good. So in John 5:26, just as the Father has life in himself. Right? Then John 1:4, in him was life. Who's that referring to? To Christ. In him was life. Then in John 4:14, you have the matter of the Spirit coming into us to spring up, to gush up, to flow within us as the water of life. And this is also seen at the end of the Bible in Revelation 22, in the New Jerusalem, in the New Heaven and the New Earth. We will continue to be enjoying God as life. So 2 says, God the Father is the light of life. God the Son is the tree of life. And God the Spirit is the river of life. Now, let's go on and we'll quickly finish Roman numeral 3. I'd like to leave some time for you to practice responding, to practice speaking, okay? This is a training, so in a training, it means we practice, okay? And by our practicing, we get perfected. We get the learning, okay? Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. All the believers in Christ have this life and can experience it every day. We have this life, and the intent is that we would experience it every day. We have these verse references, Colossians 3:4, Christ our life. That's today. Today, Christ is our life. That means we can't live a Christian life today without Christ. Then in Romans 8:6, it says, for when the mind is set on the flesh, it is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. This is a daily experience. Daily, you experience either choosing to set your mind on the flesh or to set your mind on the Spirit. Or you could say daily, you choose either to set your mind on death or to set your mind on life. We have to choose every day, life or death. Life or death. To choose life is to choose to set our mind on the Spirit, to contact the Lord who is life in our spirit, to enjoy this life, to participate in this life, to have the fellowship of this life, the flowing of this life, to have the sense of this life, and to follow that, to obey that, to take care of that. So let me ask you, how do you know how to live as a Christian today? How do you know? How do you know? When you're about to say something, how do you know if it's you or Christ? When you are deciding about going to a certain place, how do you know if it's you or Christ? Is it something God would approve or disapprove? How do you know? Is there a book you can read that tells you? Chapter 1, when talking to your mother, this is what is okay, this is what isn't okay. When talking to your roommate, chapter 3, when they have not tidied up the bathroom, even after 20 times being asked to do so, what are you justified in saying to them? How do you know? It's either life or death. That's how you know. That's the experience we have. When we experience the Lord as life, inwardly, there will be the inner supply, peace, and rest. When we are not enjoying the Lord as life, not living according to Christ as life, there is something called death. And that is an inner darkness, an inner unease, discomfort, lack of rest, an inner weakness, an inner inability. That's death. You have to choose life or death. That's our experience every day. Life or death. So, A, I'll read this to you. The eternal life was released through Christ's death and imparted to the believers through Christ's resurrection. In John 3, 14 and 15, the Lord said, even as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's referring to the Lord's death. Then he goes on to say, so he who believes would have eternal life. We have to believe in the Lord's death, in the effectiveness of his death. Amen. That in that death, he has borne all our sins. Amen. And then there's resurrection. And that's seen in John 12, 24. The Lord was a grain of wheat. He fell into the ground. He died. But he came forth in resurrection. But in resurrection, this one grain brought forth many grains. Those many grains are you and I. Those many grains have the same life as that one grain that fell into the ground. We have to see. We have the same life. The same life that's in Christ is the life that's in us. B, the eternal life was received by the believers through believing into the Son. Did you earn it? Did you work for it? Did you strive for it? No, simply by believing. C, after the believers receive the eternal life, this life becomes their life for us to live by. This is the purpose of salvation. that we would have this life and live by it. E, the eternal life that the believers have received. Oh, no, I missed one, right? D, the believers are being saved in the eternal life. Oh, this verse, Romans 5:10, you have to know this verse. It's a monumental verse in the Christian experience of God's full salvation. It tells us, having been reconciled. Having been, men, it's done, it's finished, it's accomplished. Related to the problem of sin, we've been reconciled to God. But then it goes on, much more.
Amen.
Having been reconciled,
amen,
we will be saved.
Amen.
We will be saved,
amen,
in His life.
Amen.
That means this life that we have received into us, it will save us,
amen,
from many negative things,
amen,
in our daily living.
Amen.
And it's only this life. You know, let's use one example. Temper. Who doesn't lose it every now and then? Who doesn't blow their stack every now and then? Come on, who doesn't? Nobody can raise their hand, right? We all have a problem with our temper. And we all know we shouldn't do it. We all know we shouldn't lose it. And afterwards we feel really bad. But you have to realize, there's only one thing that can save you from your temper. That's this life that's in you. Do you want to be saved from your temper? Daily experience and enjoy this life. Let this life grow in you. Let this life flow in you. It's only this life that can save you from all the negative things. So forget about your and put blank. Whatever it is, whatever thing you've been struggling with, forget about it. Don't focus on it. Focus on this life.
Amen.
Okay, E, the eternal life that believers, that the believers have received enthrones them as kings to reign over all things. All negative things. I love this. This life saves us from all negative things, and this life will reign over all negative things. Okay, F, the believers need to lay hold on the eternal life in this age so that they may inherit eternal life in the next age. We read 1 Timothy 6:19. I love this utterance there. It says, to lay hold of that which is really life. Brothers and sisters, every day you need to lay hold of this life that's in you. You know what it means to lay hold? To lay hold means to attach yourself. If I'm going to lay hold of Justin, I have to attach myself to him.
Amen.
Every day, attach yourself to this divine life, this eternal life. And every day, apply this divine life to your daily situation.
Amen.
And every day, don't trust in your own human life. So to lay hold of this life that's really life, three things. Attach yourself, join yourself to this life. Apply this life to every situation. And don't trust in your human life to make it through. Then G, the believers will fully enjoy eternal life in eternity. Okay, we ran out of time, but I would just say you have what's called the present age. Then we have the kingdom age, which is coming when the Lord returns. That will be for 1,000 years. Then after that, we have the eternal age. And God's intention is that in the present age, we all would receive His eternal life. We all would enjoy in this age the eternal life. We all would live by in this age the eternal life. And that this life in us would grow to maturity. So that in the next age, the kingdom age, we could enter into a full enjoyment of this eternal life. But that will be a reward only for those believers who in this age grow to maturity. If you don't grow to maturity in this age, there will be the loss of that full enjoyment of the eternal life during the kingdom age, because there will still be some lessons that need to be learned, things that need to be made up, training that still needs to take place. But ultimately, in the eternal age, all of the believers will enter into the full enjoyment of this eternal life.